I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello again and welcome to the Three Inning Save Podcast. This is a solo episode. I'm Eric Steven. I'm your host. This is not a solo bolo episode because this is not Comedy Bang Bang and Ben Schwartz is not joining Scott Aukerman here. I apologize for that. But here today because Will Smith got a nice little birthday present the day before he turns 29. The Dodgers signed their all-star catcher to a 10-year deal worth $140 million the day before the home opener. Really good timing. The timing reminds me of Mookie Betts, who, you know, was traded to the Dodgers in February 2020. And then, you know, the pandemic hit, so the Dodgers didn't actually start their regular season until late July. And so at that point, Mookie Betts had not yet played a game with the Dodgers. So obviously it's not a one-to-one comparison, but they signed him, Mookie Betts, then to a 12-year, $365 million contract that went in to effect the following year. So Betts is signed, Betts signed the day before opening day in 2020. So Betts is signed through 2032. Will Smith is now signed through 2033, and then Shohei Ohtani, who signed as free agent this offseason, he's signed through 2033, and pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto this offseason signed with the Dodgers through 2035. So, oh my God, that's a lot of long-term contracts. But let's get into the Will Smith of it all here. So Smith signed a 10-year deal. It's $140 million. Okay, so off the top, there's a lot to go into. There's deferrals. There's a big signing bonus. We'll dig into that in a second. But I just want to, just the you know, the price of that, like how you sort of get to that. On one level, so Smith turns 29 on Thursday, March 28th. And this takes him through his age 38 season. So you're like, hey, that 10 years is a long time for a catcher. You know, like he also might move positions at some point. We don't know. But I think there's also another way to look at this. So the contract takes effect this year. So Smith in January already signed a $8.55 million deal to avoid salary arbitration. So he already had that. This deal will essentially pay him that money this year. I'll get into the details a little bit later, but he also gets $15 million of his $30 million signing bonus in 2024. So that's in addition to that. But anyway, if you just look, he had another year of arbitration in 2025 coming, you know, had he just gone year to year before free agency. So you figure like maybe a 50% raise roughly. He's at like $21 million for these 2 years, 2024, 2025. Then Will Smith would be entering his age 31 season for 2026 as a free agent. If you look, like JT Realmuto with the Phillies, he signed a 5-year deal before 2020 worth $115.5 million. So very rough back of the neck in math here. Adding the 115.5 to, say, roughly $21 million, you're already at $136.5 million over 7 years. So you're basically at the structure of Will Smith's 10-year contract. So if you're thinking, hey, 10 years is a long time, it might be more of an amortization thing or a you know, contract thing. The Dodgers have been very good about you know, structuring the deals like how they want. They present structures. Fabian Ardaya and Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic had a very good article actually before the Smith contract came about on it was on earlier Wednesday about sort of the Dodgers' recent strategy of deferrals. Had some good quotes in there, and you know, when we talked to Teoscar Hernandez, and he's on the smaller scale of this, but he signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers in January, $23.5 million, and he gets $15 million this year, and then the $8.5 million, the other $8.5 million is paid from 2030 to 2039. He gets $850,000 a year. So if you're in that press conference when he signed, I believe it was over Zoom in January, he basically said, like, the Dodgers presented me, like, different structures. This is the one I took. In the article from Fabian Ardaya and Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic, I believe Freddie Freeman basically said the same thing. They presented me these options, and that was the one he took. And I think Freeman was also quoted in that article saying, you know, deferred money helps the team win now because they can spend more. That's sort of the genesis of, you know, Shohei Ohtani's the poster child for this. He deferred $680 million of his $700 million contract, which is essentially, it's not that simple, but it's essentially underwriting the Dodgers' extra spending. The theory being, you know, the Dodgers do have to set aside not necessarily cash, but enough assets to be able to fund the deferral payments to Ohtani in the future, which is $68 million a year for 10 years after his contract's done. But present, the money now is, you know, you can work up to that by just gaining interest in all these things. So the Dodgers are essentially using that, thinking they can gain more, I think, than, you know, in interest or whatever investments they're doing than the prevailing rate. If the way it's discounted for competitive balance tax purposes, at least, the CBA currently calls for whatever the prevailing rate, I forget the exact term, but I believe the discount rate this year is 4.43%. So if you're thinking like the Dodgers are, Ohtani's contract, for instance, is valued at like $460 million for competitive balance tax purposes rather than $700 million. So let's say the Dodgers just put in $46 million a year instead of, you know, quote unquote $70 million into like an investment, or $44 million because they're deferring $68 million. They think over time, they're betting, I think, that money will grow at a faster rate and give them ultimately more money than, you know, what had they just paid it straight, like a $460 million contract. So there's a lot that goes into it, obviously, but I think that is sort of like, literally the Dodgers are paying Ohtani $2 million this year. So that's part of it. So like in terms of a cash flow, like that obviously helps. But I don't want to dig too deep in the weeds here. I realize that I just got real, I almost bored myself with that. I apologize. But back to Smith. Okay, so we're going off here. They had a press conference at Dodger Stadium this afternoon on Wednesday. It was kind of short notice. I could not make it, but the Dodgers put out a video. Here's what Will Smith said, basically about how much he's loved being a Dodger ever since he was drafted in 2016. This is courtesy of the Dodgers.
I love being a Dodger. I've loved being here since I got drafted in 2016. And, you know, I don't think I'm the player I would be without being here. So for me to, you know, probably finish my career a Dodger means a lot. And I, you know, couldn't be happier and, you know, more excited moving forward. There's no better organization that's more, you know, committed to winning a World Series. And that's, you know, the most important thing to me when it comes to baseball. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to these 10 years.
So, yeah, Smith, you know, as you can imagine, very happy to sign a $140 million deal. But if you look at it, we'll get into the details in a little bit. But I just want to, like, point out that how kind of incredible this deal is. Because if you look at it, like, look, the Mookie Betts deal was, you know, he's already, like, essentially, he wasn't, like, necessary. I don't know if he would have been a lock for the Hall of Fame had he retired before ever joining the Dodgers. Like, obviously, that would have been a weird circumstance. But he was very clearly on a Hall of Fame track. Will Smith is not there yet. But Mookie Betts is in a different tier, right? Or and especially, and he was when he joined the Dodgers. But so I think it wasn't quite the same as, say, like a homegrown star. But he was pre-free agency when he signed with the Dodgers. So the sort of concept is the same. But that kind of deal is rare. Like, if over the years, basically the last homegrown star like the Dodgers signed before free agency, like into free agency, was Clayton Kershaw in 2014. That was his last year before free agency. They signed him that January to, at the time, was a record contract for a pitcher, $215 million over 7 years. So they've done smaller deals in recent years. Like, for instance, like Max Muncy had, you know, they bought out all three of Max Muncy's arbitration years at once. They did, I believe, the last two of Chris Taylor's arbitration years before he went into free agency. Max Muncy had an option that would have went into what would have been a free agent year for him. And then before that year came up, they just signed him to, they essentially guaranteed the option and then added another option. And then this last year, the Dodgers, before the deadline for Muncy to, for the Dodgers to decline or pick up his option, they just signed him to a 2-year extension. The other one was essentially Austin Barnes, who would have been a free agent after the 2022 season. But during that season, they signed him to a 2-year extension. So it's really a short list, like, of stars that they signed, you know, into their free agent years. And especially, like, this obviously is a big deal. Like, Kershaw bought out the 6 years of free agency. The Dodgers at the time, I believe, wanted there were different structures, like, you know, very long-term deal, like a 20-year deal and stuff, but Kershaw did not want to do it at the time. Signed a 7-year deal, and then this for Smith obviously buys out 8 years of free agency. So, like, he essentially, as you heard in the video we played, he said, you know, or, you know, essentially, like, Dodger for life or end of his career. So that's where we're at. I'm going to dig into a little more details on this after the break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, so Will Smith is a Dodger at the moment, signed through 2033. That is a long time. Doesn't feel like a real year to me. But what does that mean? So just want to, we'll link to these in the show notes, but, you know, there is reporting on this from Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, Fabian Ardaia at The Athletic, and Dylan Hernandez at the LA Times, plus the Associated Press as well. But, you know, it's 10 years, $140 million. He gets a $30 million signing bonus. $15 million of that is paid in 2024, and another $15 million is paid in 2025. And then, so that leaves $110 million for the 10 years, and it's essentially split out, roughly 13.5 the first few years, and then 9.5 for a lot of it. But of those salaries, $5 million is deferred, or a total of $50 million is deferred. I haven't actually seen the exact breakdown of how much is deferred per year. I'm assuming it's $5 million, but the $50 million total deferred gets paid out from 2034 to 2043, the 10 years after his contract. It's the same in that regard. It's the same schedule as Shohei Ohtani, obviously on a different scale. But because of the way net present value works and how it's determined for competitive balance tax purposes, I believe the figure I saw for Smith's contract, instead of a $14 million average annual value, which is just the straight total of the contract divided by the 10 years, his annual value will be $12.24 million, roughly. So that is, you know, looking at the Dodgers here, I'm going to have a payroll post up at True Blue LA sometime this weekend after the home opener, after we sort out some of the salaries on the lower end of the scale, like some of the pre-ARB guys. Once those come out, just trying to finalize this. But roughly, at the moment, they're at about $321 million. So that's for competitive balance tax purposes. It also includes, there's team benefit costs, that every team pays. Every team pays about $1.7 million into the pre-arbitration pool. There's minor league salaries. There's some dead money in that money received from the Rays in the Manuel Margot trade, and then money the Dodgers sent to the Twins in the other Manuel Margot trade. So we'll have more details from that on the site, but that's roughly where they're at. But just to give you an idea, so the first competitive balance tax threshold in 2024 is $237 million, and there's four different tiers. It goes up $20 million each time with progressively higher rates. The Dodgers have paid the luxury tax in each of the last 3 years, so they are a multi-repeat offender. So they are taxed at the highest possible rate here. So it starts at 50% at the lowest rate, and then anything over $297 million is taxed at 110%. So if you think about it this way, and again, I don't mean – this doesn't necessarily mean how you have to, like, view these deals. I'm just sort of pointing out where they're at. Because it hasn't seemed to stop them right at this point. So I'm just pointing out what it is. But they're estimated roughly at $321 million. So anything they add at this point costs a little more than twice that amount. So at the moment, they are estimated to pay a little over $67.5 million in tax. Obviously, there's going to be like in-season trades. I'm sure just, injured list stints, calling up guys enough, that's going to add a few million here and there. So that number, I think, is only going to go up. But with something like Smith's deal, like having, like, say, for instance, in 2026, when he would have been a free agent, right, he could have signed like a deal worth like at least $20 million a year, I think, or at least close to it. And his CBT number those years is still going to be $12.24 million, right? That's a small number. It's the same sort of theory for, like, Mookie Betts counts against the tax as $25.5 million. Freddie Freeman counts as $24.7 million, even though all those guys all have deferred money. So that's sort of, in a weird way, like, it kind of, the Dodgers get, like, them at their price in a way, although, like we mentioned in that article from The Athletic, obviously the players are involved as well, and like they sort of here's the structures we want to do, and pick one of these, which one you want, and like whatever kind of works for both sides, I think works. But that's where they're at the moment. But yeah, like it's just sort of a shocking deal, to be honest. Because, over the years, like, we've seen, obviously, Cody Bellinger was a unique situation. He won MVP early, but then had the injuries, and he was very bad for two straight years. And then to the point where the Dodgers non-tendered him, he had a nice comeback year for the Cubs. He had a rough time in free agency this year, but I thought for sure, especially early with him, like, at least buying out his arbitration years would have been like sort of a wise move, but you just never know. And the Dodgers never, you see this with some teams, like the Braves have obviously signed a lot of younger players, especially far earlier, like not as close to free agency, to long-term deals, like Michael Harris. Obviously the Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies deals are huge, but they've signed a ton of those deals. The Dodgers haven't really done it with anyone that early. So this is a little bit of a different territory for them. Now, obviously, Smith is further along in his career, and he's more established, and that's why, the price is probably higher. But it does seem like a pretty good deal for the team, as much as you can say a 10-year deal is. Like, $140 million seems like a good amount to pay. Or a fair amount to pay Will Smith at this point. Just as a few notes here. So since he debuted in May 2019, he kind of went up and down a little bit that year, but he stayed for good to start 2020. But since he debuted, he has 91 home runs. That's second most among major league catchers, so that's obviously great. Only Salvador Perez has more with 105. Since the start of 2020, when he's basically been entrenched as the opening day or as the starting catcher, he leads all major league catchers in Fangraphs WAR, runs scored and walks. He's second in WRC plus, slugging percentage, on base, Baseball Reference WAR, home runs, and runs batted in. So he's one of the best catchers in baseball, right? Like, he made his first All-Star team last year. You know, and he hits well enough, like, to where, like, eventually if he has to move positions, he'll probably be a good enough hitter to do it. So it is a weird thing if you from one standpoint, like, you know, not that the Dodgers necessarily have the unless you're dead set that Will Smith could easily play third, which has sort of been bandied about in the past. But like with Shohei Ohtani, right, they have DH kind of locked up for 10 years, and then they also have Freddie Freeman for four more years at first base. So there's the usual, like, easy transition things. Not that Will Smith is necessarily going to need to change positions that soon, but it is a little unique in that regard. But it is funny, the first four in the Dodgers lineup, Mookie Betts signed through 2032, Shohei Ohtani and Will Smith 2033, they're second and fourth, and then in between, Freddie Freeman 2027. It sounds like, so they might need to extend him at some point, because that's a relatively short contract for the Dodgers right now. But yeah, that's it. Just wanted to get the news out. Will Smith signed a 10-year deal. Amazing. The Dodgers this offseason have signed two 10-year deals and a 12-year deal. That's pretty incredible. So that's where we're at. This is the 3-Inning Save podcast. I am your host, Eric Steven. We will be back with a regular episode next week after the weekend series against the Cardinals. Rain is in the forecast for Saturday and Sunday. There might be another rain out, which is that we didn't have one for 23 years at Dodger Stadium, and we might have one this weekend. We'll see. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, next week. But until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and here's to a happy homestand.